Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Lesson number 4. Imagine a lot of Coca-Cola like bubbles on your tongue.
Furca teșere Coca-Cola das bibidi 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 on the flavin.
Now you try. Pretty good.
This is Emily.
My name's Emily Gassio and I'm an artist.
What is your name? Emily.
Some of you may remember that a couple years ago we did a story about Emily where she'd been hit by a truck, gone into a coma, and then her boyfriend at the time, Alan, had brought her back by writing on her hand.
She's writing her name on the palm of my hand.
Of all the stories we've ever done, I think this one has gotten the most response. And when we left that story, Emily had emerged from the coma and begun to recover, but she was blind. Totally blind, right?
Yeah.
And like no light, nothing coming in?
No.
Okay. Needless to say, it was a very big adjustment.
I just had to develop my own ways to navigate throughout the world and trust myself. And
being a visual artist, she had to develop new ways to draw.
I had crayons, and if you draw with crayons hard enough, you can feel the wax on the paper. Yeah.
But then one day in the summer of 2012, she gets a call.
From the Lighthouse School in New York City.
The Lighthouse School?
Yeah, it's a school for the blind.
Her mom had found out that they were trying out this brand new technology.
I think they were doing the study for the FDA.
Very experimental, and her mom signed her up. Long story short, Emily shows up to the Lighthouse School one day and walks into this room, and a guy named Ed gives her this thing.
He gives me the device.
Can you describe it? I mean, is it a big helmet?
Or no. It's not. It's just like a regular pair of sunglasses.
Though they were a little heavier than your normal sunglasses, she says, because right on the front, like on the bridge of the nose, was a little camera pointing forward.
And then attached to the sunglasses was a little wire
that ran out of the camera and down to this little square piece of metal.
I think it's made out of titanium, and it's just like the size of a postage stamp, or a little bit thicker, though.
Ed explained to her that the little piece of titanium was filled with thousands of electrodes. And what was going to happen is that the camera was going to convert images into patterns of electricity on that little square. So he told her to take the little square.
Place it on your tongue.
Put it right on the center of your tongue.
And close your mouth. So I put it on and they turned it on. And it was like, it started to tickle. Imagine a lot of Coca-Cola, like a lot of bubbles on your tongue and always like prickly feelings.
The idea behind this thing, according to science writer Sam Keen,
author of The Tale of the Dueling Neurosurgeons,
is that we actually see with our brain, not our eyes. I mean, it might seem like our eyes are doing the seeing and our ears are doing the hearing and our fingers and tongue are doing the tasting, the touching, but that's actually not how it works. Each of our senses sends signals into the brain as electricity.
It's little blips on nerves.
And it is the brain that then converts those little blips into what you perceive as a sight or a sound or a smell. Now, obviously, someone who is blind, their retina is not sending those signals anymore. But what if there is another way to get signals for light and dark and color into our brains?
In all of our brains, there are lots and lots of pathways going from every part of the brain to every other part of the brain. And normally, your brain isn't using those pathways, even though they exist. It's like there's a road there, but it's shut down and traffic can't be on it. But
what if you could open up some of those routes?
He just let me sit with it on for an hour or 2 hours.
Emily says at first she had no idea what was happening. She would just swivel her head around and feel the patterns on her tongue change.
And every time I looked around, he'd say, "Oh, that's a chair. That's a door. That's me. That's your mom."
And it went on like this for a while. Ed showed her a ball and a square.
A plastic banana.
And nothing was really happening for her, except for the prickly feelings on her tongue. But then there was this moment.
Ed had this really long styrofoam rod, and he flashed it in front of me. He moved it up and down in front of my face. And I was like, "Oh my God, what was that?"
Suddenly, she says, she just saw it.
I was like, "Oh my God." It just happened on its own.
What did it look like?
And so in my mind's eye, it looked like a long, white, skinny stick.
Could you see the texture of the stick? Or?
No, I couldn't see texture. I couldn't see in three dimensions. It was very flat. It was kind of like that kid's toy, Light Bright.
Yeah.
So imagine like a black screen and little tiny white dots.
All arranged in a line. So Emily was allowed to keep the BrainPort device for about a year and a half. And during that time, the light bright resolution of it did get better as her brain learned to speak tongue.
It was awesome when I saw the people moving.
And one of the things that really struck me in our conversation was I asked her about this video that her mom had sent me showing her wearing the device and walking down the street. And she told me that usually, you know, now that she's blind, when she's walking down the streets of New York City,
especially uptown where the streets are a lot wider,
she says people see her and her white cane and walk a really wide circle around her.
So I hardly ever notice other people walking around me. It feels like I'm just walking alone. I can always hear the traffic and the sounds of traffic, but not other people.
But she says when she put the device on and put that little sensor on her tongue, the sidewalk came alive.
I thought it was amazing. Like, I didn't know this many people were on the street at the same time as me. And now they're all there again.
But she described them in a way that sounded almost like a painting.
Like, really soft blotches. Everything was really soft, like soft blotches of ink that could move. They were walking and I could see their legs moving and I could see them, their gait, but I couldn't see them clearly. Like, I couldn't see their features or whether they were wearing a shirt or shorts or a dress or pants. I just like see their shadows, and every now and then I see the light casted on them.
Really?
Yeah.
I imagine somehow like underwater creatures.
Uh-huh.
Squishy, jellyfish-like.
Yeah. Yeah, like lighting up. Yeah, like that.
And that, for Emily, is what it's like to translate the city with your tongue. New York City becomes this hazy sea of walking fish that make their way along in the sunshine.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.